Hey, this is Ben from PeterIsTheWolf.com, and you're listening to the...
Screwed it up, man. Okay.
Hey, this is Ben from PeterIsTheWolf.com, and you're listening to the Webcomics Beacon.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Now that I ruined that, let's start this show. This is episode 61. Is it 61?
Yes!
I don't know. You are in control of the numbers.
It is. It is episode 61.
Episode 61 of...
I can't keep track of what episode of the GigCast I'm on, but I can look at your front page and tell that this is episode 61, live on Sunday.
Sunday, nice. Sunday, Sunday!
Sunday!
At the Metrodome!
Be there. This is episode 61 of the Webcomic Beacon. Yes, webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network webcomic community at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of PSIwebcomic.com, and with me are my co-hosts, Mark Savory and Tanya Higgins of AutumnLake.com and BetaPwn.com. Dang, I introduced them both at the same time, but both welcome.
Hi.
Hey there.
We'll leave it up to you, the listener, to figure out which one they're of.
One of them has boobs.
Mine has more boobs.
Why don't you guys
She's
just
got way more
comics
boobs than I do.
I do. I have at least double the boobs. That's...
At least double the boobs. Either, Tanya, yeah. You have smaller boobs than I thought, or Mark, you have bigger boobs than I thought.
I haven't seen Mark's boobs. I don't know.
Well, then stop making assumptions. With us,
I was talking about the comics.
Yeah.
Hang on. That took us like, what, 3 minutes to start talking about boobs?
Yeah, we're a little behind this week.
I'm off my game.
No, that's all right. I thought I was going to be the one to introduce it into the conversation, not everybody else.
Speaking of boobs, let me introduce Scott Gallatin of the GigCast and Mad Scott Comics. Welcome.
Hey-o! Wacky radio.
This week... Well... Okay, as soon as I catch
today's
my breath...
Today's topic, yes. Hairy boobs versus non-hairy boobs.
Oh, gosh.
I like non-hairy
boobs.
Let's
give ruin the whole thing.
I so like the honeys, not the harrys.
In the chat room, we're now talking about pierced boobs. So.
Fine. That's got to hurt.
You should never pierce
only
the boobs.
A little bit.
You should only pierce the nipples, otherwise you're doing it wrong. In any case, I'd like to thank George of DungeonLegacy.com for taking our notes for this week. Also, thanks to Witchy Bunny for doing the voice content that we have, and thanks to Ekerez for the background music, which we use so very much. This week, Scott, would you be interested in doing the cover for this week's show?
Yeah, I can sketch something up. I don't know if I'll have time to color it, but... I can certainly get something put together.
Well, cool beans. Well, and then this week's cover is brought to you by Scott Gallatin of the GigCast and Mad Scott Comics.
Woohoo!
I'm trying to introduce whoever does the comic, the cover, on the show that it's supposed to go on, just to add a little extra oomph there.
So that if they don't do it, then they look like losers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Actually, Zach of Insert Comic Hero has submitted two various to use comic covers for us. They're pretty cool. And I'll be throwing those up when we don't have somebody else on the show doing another cover for us. So probably next week, I'm not entirely sure what we're going to do next week, but we'll probably have one of his covers up for the next week's show. But this week's show, we are talking about hobbyists versus professionalists in the webcomic world. Particularly for the approach that a creator or creators would take to putting webcomics online. Now, First off, I will say this. Let's not talk about the approach where you take something that's being done in print, like very much intentionally being done in print, and then making a webcomic version of that. I'm talking from either doing with the intent of doing both, or going for the webcomic, starting from the webcomic, and then moving on from there, not print backwards to webcomic, if you know what I mean.
Sure. You know what we should start with?
Yes.
Because I think you have a different definition of professional versus amateur than I probably do.
Yeah.
What do you consider a professional comic?
Well, when I'm thinking professional in this sense of how I came up with the idea for the show, it's professional as in with the intent of making it a source of income, with the intent of, you know, setting out to make a name for yourself, to be, I guess, one of the peers of a comic making society. Oh. If you know what I'm trying to say.
It your primary source of income.
Well, maybe not necessarily primary, but maybe a decent source of income.
I think that's actually a pretty good definition, because that leaves it broad enough where, because there's a lot of hobbyists who, real honestly, their day job is such a nice day job that they're not going to be. I mean, that's the primary reason they're not becoming a professional cartoonist.
That lets me out then.
Oh, what the hell,
Mark?
Oh,
from the job I have.
Poor Mark. Oh. Okay, so I mean that's a definition that I can accept.
Well, what were you thinking?
Well, you know, earlier we've talked about this a few times. You know, whenever a review comes out, it almost sounded like it came down to intent. Like if your intent was to make money off of it, then then you were at least gearing toward being a professional. Whereas if you were a hobbyist, you weren't trying to make cash at all. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, even a hobbyist might want to cover their expenses and, you know, make a little scratch.
Oh, anybody who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to make a little?
I was just checking. I wanted to solidify it, cement it, so that I knew before I started arguing with you.
That'd be funny. They'd be like, wait, what are we talking about? What do you mean?
Yeah, because I mean, even as a hobbyist, it is probably most hobbyists' desire to make enough money so that they didn't have to, you know, spend. I mean, even if my hobby is building fast cars, it would be cool to be able to take that car to a track and actually make a little money at some races, or at the very least, you know, pick up a couple of trophies.
Right.
But I'm certainly not, you know, I don't have sponsors. It's not like you're going to suddenly be able to go out and, you know, outrun John Force or something, or some other professional drag racer.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yes.
And then sometimes, of course.
Great show, guys.
It's been nice talking to you.
Yeah, I think we got it covered.
We're done now.
Oh,
okay. Well, okay. Sometimes it's like part of that. It's like personally, I believe that success on the internet, as far as a webcomic goes, is partly skill and partly luck. I would also say partly connections as well, because I've seen some comics just kind of shoot up because of who they know or who they're working with. There may be carryover from a previous project, or it's just sometimes it's just dumb luck. I mean, some of these, I'm not going to really name the ones that I really hate here, but I look at some of these and I'm like, okay, for some dumb reason, your comic is really awesome and getting lots of money, and I'm looking at it and it's like, this is just crap. It's recycled jokes I've seen in a million different webcomics, just because the readers probably haven't seen those million other webcomics and the art is lazily done. It's like, you know, it's part of it is
you're gonna
is
have
jealousy.
To name at least
no,
one example.
No. I do not want to advertise this one if I don't have to. A part of it, I'm sure, is jealousy. But the other part of it, personally for me, is some of the ones that are done way more, you know, well, professionally, with a higher level of skill. I'm like, mm-hmm. they deserve so much more than what this thing is getting, you know? It's like, it's not just, I'm hating the art, I'm hating the writing. It's cliche. And then this one is like, oh, man, why doesn't nobody like this one? This one's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there's a bit of a squeaky wheel thing there, too. I mean, so, yeah, you definitely have luck where you hit with somebody or some group that latches onto your comic and can relate to it. There's a little bit of skill where you manage to be able to put pen to paper or pixel to pixel to pad and put out something on a regular basis. But another part of that is sometimes you see people that catch on that are merely motivated enough to keep promoting it every day. and that is a big thing that kind of separates a lot of people from being a couple hundred hit a day to a couple thousand hit a day comic.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I freely admit that there are people we've promoted on the Gigcast that, you know, if we wouldn't have called, they probably wouldn't have even done that much promotion. And they're happy with that. They're happy with just doing their craft and you know, showing it to, you know, their friends and relatives and neighbors and, mm-hmm. and it becomes kind of a low stress hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully it just stays a low stress hobby and you don't sign up for a million projects and then you're on deadlines and making commitments and.
Well, there are always those people who can turn a pleasurable thing into a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, there's people
that.
Waiting around the corner to tell you that you suck so incredibly bad. And it's tough to make sure that you either avoid those conversations or not visit those forums or. Because if you are doing it, you know, coming from the hobbyist end,
yeah.
if you are doing it as a hobby, it's really tough to get a review that you didn't solicit,
right?
And see how horrible they think of you, and it's like, you know, okay, wow, I put out a comic, you know, I put out a comic more often than a lot of people, and you hate it, great, you know. Okay, I don't mind that you reviewed it so much, but Jesus hell.
I mean, thanks for the exposure, but, I mean, you could have reviewed something more worthwhile.
I'll admit that it hurts. You know, certainly. I mean, it bothers anybody when they get a negative review, and it has to, if you're just doing something just, you know, just as your relaxation time, just as something that you love to do, it's got to hurt worse, because you didn't put yourself out there to be chopped into meat, and I get that, but at the same time, a bad comic is a bad comic, and whether you're doing it as a hobby or whether you're doing it professionally,
I equate it to going to like a bake sale and talking about how horrible the cookies look.
Okay, no. does it make you an ass? Yes.
Yeah, it makes you a complete ass. But
at the same time, you know, the bake sale maybe wasn't put out for millions of people to read. Eat, I guess.
Well, if you didn't want millions of people to read, why'd you put it online?
Don't give me that crap.
No, I'm
serious.
Being sarcastic.
Whenever you publicly display your work, a graffiti artist, I don't care what it is you do, whenever you publicly display your work, at some level, you're allowing criticism.
Well, of course.
Absolutely.
It doesn't make it nice.
But and I would like to back up here. Like, you're okay. Now, I kind of I've had this argument a little bit here and there, but it's like, what is art, and can there really be bad art? And I submit that there are at least two different ways you can look at art. You can look at it from a skill perspective, and you can look at it from an art perspective. What is art? I say art in itself is 100% subjective when it comes to liking it. If you think it's good or bad, it's 100% objective. Now, when you're looking at it from a skill perspective, then that's when you can attack and say good or bad because the skill is bad. And when you're doing something that's not realistic, not realism, well, then it's it's easier to point the finger and say that it's bad. And then, and I'm not saying, oh, it's the style excuse. I mean, yeah, you have to admit this, but, I mean, obviously, if a bunch of people like something, you can't just go say it's a terrible webcomic, because apparently, in the minds of some people, well, that's art, and they like that. And despite me thinking that some of these people are brain dead, is moot.
I like comics that you abhor. So,
apparently.
I mean, we have to bring up Dominic Dagan.
I don't want to link
now,
that
just
show.
Just listen. Stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. And the reason is that it's so freaking polarized. It's clearly subjective. I mean, it absolutely. Is the artwork perfect? No, by no means. Is the writing perfect? No, by no means. But I still enjoy it. Clearly, it's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Reviewers have either given it great reviews or have given it totally crappy reviews. But it, no way does it invalidate their reviews. I mean, it's just an opinion. And whether he's making money off of it or not, those reviews are still valid.
Well, okay, you say... Oh, shoot, what did you say? Oh, you're
she,
saying...
She just said it!
No, you're saying those the reviews are still valid part.
Yeah, reviews are still valid regardless of whether it's professional or not.
I would argue that almost any review is sort of invalid if the reviewer claims to know more about and is arguing basically semantics or subjectivity of whether or not something makes something good or not.
That's what reviewers do.
I know. Siskel, no. That's a critique.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A reviewer would review the product as a whole for the audience. A critique is somebody that's acting as though they're a peer. And it usually ends up being them
like
trying
you.
To talk down to the creator. And that's the difference between a critique and a review. And I personally believe that I want to get like Scott Kurtz on the show to talk about stuff like this because like I listened to the Everyone's a Critic episode of Webcomics Weekly and I was like, dude, I almost 100% agree with what he was saying as far as when it comes to as far as a peer or not. I mean, there are people that are above you and below you as far as art skill and position of their professional standing, I guess. And it's whether or not I can't really remember everything that he was saying, but it's like whether or not you see this person as a peer, somebody that you can respect and you can listen to and really take their advice, but you also can't take advice from everybody because otherwise you kind of would lose what your work is. But,
well, and especially as you get up there, with readers, everyone has an opinion. You know, I've had...
Everyone also has an asshole.
That is also true. I've had plenty of comments from different readers saying, you know, I think you should take the storyline this way, or this character should, you know, do this, or this, that, and the other. And usually if it has something to do with the way I'm structuring things, unless it's something that I'm not happy with, I kind of say, wow, thanks for the suggestion, and I leave it at that. But if somebody emails me and says, hey, by the way, your hands are three sizes too small for your characters, I'm not sure if that's a style choice or if you just suck, that's something I have to listen to. Because, you know, then that person may not be a professional, they may not be a peer, but their opinion may be valid.
Oh, true.
I'm sorry.
Whether I'm a hobbyist or a professional.
Did we go off topic?
Yes.
No, this kind of will lead into the next part of what we're going to be talking about that will bring it back full circle. But first, what are we doing first?
Break?
But first, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to continue this discussion.
Thank Thank you for calling the hotline for thegeekmedia.com. If you are a fan of social media, podcasts, machinima, video games, or music, please press the number 1 and someone will be with you soon. If
you are not prepared,
please dial 0 and an operator will be with you shortly. Thank you again for calling thegeekmedia.com's customer service hotline. And please remember, we're always available 24/7 at www.thegeekmedia.com.
Don't believe him, because he's going to get some dirt on you. You watch. He'll say something.
I mostly get that after the show.
Boy, no, I sure miss President Bush. Darn, I wish they could have given him a third term. Oh, are we back?
Yes.
And then
that would be a good time to take care of that headache, Scott.
Fap, fap, fap.
Oh, God. Yes, we were back about 20 seconds ago. I got a couple of things which I want to bring up as we continue on to this discussion. Now, I saw on Least I Could Do, what's his name? Somer, I guess, yeah, is the guy who makes the posts on the main page. Now, these are not what I'm gonna quote some of him because of something he said recently. Otherwise, I was gonna say some of this stuff anyway because I've seen what I'm about to quote him on said elsewhere. But this just makes it easier since this is something recent and fresh. As he's talking about webcomic professionality, that not his word, that's my made up word. just to summarize, this was posted on January 21st. Just to pick a few parts out of it, he says if you want to be treated professionally, act professionally. Get your strip up when you say you will. Bill Watterson never missed an update because he was drunk, tired, or sick. Neither should you. Stick to your update schedule, not only to the day, but to the hour. Remove the donate button from your site. Professional cartoonists aren't beggars. We don't need handouts. Earn your money. Don't panhandle for it. Rather than spending 4 hours of your day ranting on online forums about why another is so wrong and you're so very right, ignore it. Every time a flame war breaks out, it accomplishes nothing but to make all parties look like children. Keep your head down, focus on your work, and let your success be what speaks for you. Don't let readers dictate what your work will be. Trust yourself, your direction. You may end up with a few less than stellar arcs or strips, but you need to follow through on your vision. Accept your limitations. If you're not a business person, don't try to be one. There are many business-minded individuals who'd love to partner up with a creative force such as yourself. You just need to find them. Don't respond to hate mail, da-da-da-da-da. Just some various overall good advice if you're looking to be a professional. And especially going back to that donate button, I see a lot of people that just have donate and that's it. Personally, I would prefer donate and get this wallpaper, or donate and I'll update more a week, or side arc, or
incentives,
right. You know, something where people like to get bang for their buck.
Right. Well, I think you missed one of the important quotes. You're only an amateur if you let yourself be one. That makes sense. I mean, so I guess I'm still confused as to why we make this delineation. Why is there a difference between a professional webcomicker and someone who's doing it as a hobby? If you're taking yourself seriously and you're taking what you do seriously, does it all come down to cash? Is that it?
I kind of think so, but to add to this, I'll add one more quote.
See?
No, I'll add one more quote. This is not me, but I'm going to throw this extra quote out here so we can talk about it. This is from a person named Brannock on the Something Awful forum. So it was mentioned in February. It's something about a quote that I said that pissed him off. Something about the professional versus hobby approach, essentially. And he says, hobbyists don't love their hobby enough. Otherwise, they'd go professional. Now, I'll let you guys talk.
See, that's kind of a retarded line to draw.
That's so.
I agree.
It's okay. And this kind of gets back to what I was saying before, is that, what, like, for example, myself, I love to draw, and I would have at one point loved to go professional with doing art, and it just didn't work out. I ended up working in computers, and this is how I pay my bills. And if I could ever do like Howard Taylor and you know, make the jump from computers to cartoons again, that would still be kind of an unrealistic thing for me, because I would have to earn so much more off of doing my comic than my day job just to cover the health insurance for my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be done, but it doesn't mean I love my, you know, love my art any less. It just means that feasibly I can't go from feeding a family of four on my current salary to jumping right into doing comics without essentially making it an 80-hour work week for me every week.
Yeah.
You know, there's the transition there is just pretty rough. I mean, just like transitioning to any job. I mean, it's, you know, you've seen a lot of people go professional after something has happened, you know, after a layoff or after a thing, and then they've been able to go professional because they've had that extra little push.
Then they have no choice.
But it's not like everybody can be, you know, again, Howard Taylor or you know, or even, you know, Scott Kurtz or any of these people that they do a very professional looking quality product that we've all looked at and gone, wow, you could do this professionally. And yes and no. Maybe, you know, maybe they could. Maybe they could go out and do it professionally, but there's still that finding somebody to pay the bills part.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that totally goes around the luck factor too, because a lot of that's luck. Getting
it's as much luck as finding any job. I mean, if you go out and actively seek employment and you can get employed in that field, There is a bit of luck involved there. There's people you know. There's people you. I mean, if you're like myself and you're doing comics as a hobby, one, it's great because, you know, if I get sick and I have to take a day off, there's, you know, I may annoy a few people because I don't update as often, but there's no contractual obligation for me to do a 5 day a week comic.
Right.
If I'm doing it to pay my bills, that's really a contractual obligation with your readers to produce content as often as possible.
Right.
I think that's a good way to look at it. And it wouldn't matter what the hobby was. I mean, our hobby obviously is cartooning. I'm sure we have other ones. But just because I love it doesn't mean I want to make a business out of it.
Oh, yeah. We could be talking about Jonathan Colton. Jonathan Colton, who is a musician, if you haven't heard of him before, you can find him at the last few Penny Arcade Expos, and he played you can find him on it. I think it's just jonathancolton.net, but he went from being a programmer to being a professional musician purely on his marketing himself and producing content every frickin' week. You know, he was putting out a new song and people, you know, people came to rely on that. And after a while, he was able to do things like tour, and he tours constantly now. And so his product went from releasing it on the web all the time to getting it out in the public all the time. You know, it also helps that
Valve, you know, he made a deal with Valve for one of the most popular internet songs in a long time, and that being the Portal song. And of course,
but before he did the Portal song, he had a number of really huge, you know, internet hits.
Oh, certainly.
It wasn't that he just went and pursued Valve and said, "Hey, I'd like to do a song for you."
But that broke him out of internetiness and into a little bit more mainstream offlineiness.
I would say no.
No, really?
I would say that although a number of us, you know, think of, "Wow, it's cool that we caught him in Portal," there are a number, you know, any number of the million people who've bought Portal, that have no idea who Jonathan Colton is and think that song at the end is really cool, but that's all the further they'll take it.
Hmm.
And I would say that what took him out of being just an amateur guy doing it on the internet to professional musician is when he started touring with some of the comedy shows.
Okay.
Because there's a comedy group called Paul and Storm, and he tours with them constantly. And that, more than anything, the getting him out in front of the public who might not have downloaded his songs on the internet, that more than anything got him FaceTime with more people than just the internet nerdy kind
internet
of
internet people. Cross promotion, folks.
I mean, but to kind of tie that into what we're talking about here,
right?
To go, I mean, if you're serious about going from hobbyist to professional, again, first thing you got to do is stop reading people's opinions of what you should do, because what you really need to do is sit back and look at your work and go, okay, this is officially a business. You know, as a business, I need to spend so much of my time marketing it, so much of my time producing it, and another part of my time lying about it so that people will think that I'm top of the world. And it's not, I mean, there really is. There's a lot of that, you know, fake it till you make it thing, where you can apply it to any business.
Fostering community rather than lying.
Okay, but if I'm building nails, you know, if my company makes nails, and I know that there's really realistically no difference between the way I make a nail and the way Acme makes a nail, but I'm going to say I've got a better product than them. Why? Because I've got a wife and kids at home that I need to feed. So there is a level of lying that needs to be considered while you're marketing your product.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to confidently know that when you say, you know, this thing is gonna make you laugh. And yeah, that might be stretching the truth a bit, because, you know, last week I had a couple of clinkers in there, but you know what? I needed to get it out.
Yeah.
But you do. I mean, whereas if I'm still gonna say, you know what, I'm not ready to go professional, I want to be a hobbyist, I need to take my – I still should take the reviews, bad and good, with a grain of salt and try to improve. Because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, just doing stick figure art, you know, as a hobby or even professionally if you can get away with it. But
XKCD.
But, yeah, but you should at least consider, all right, is there room for improvement for what I'm doing?
Right.
You know, as a hobbyist, do I care? You know, I mean, and you know, if what you're doing is making you happy, and you know what, and it was never, I mean, like, granted, some people like it, people are reading it, you're putting it out, you really just have to do. You really have to consider whether or not you care, whether or not people are going to complain when you stop updating or drop off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to. You have to consider, you know, so what happens when my hobby is taking up all of my nights, when I should be tucking my kids into the bed?
Right.
You have to consider, you know, so you have to really consider at what level is my hobby stay a hobby or become a part-time job? I mean, so it's just as hard for people to keep it as a hobby as it is for people to make it into a job.
Yeah, it's easy for it to take up a lot of your time, and then you wind up with a part-time job. And at that point, I think you make a choice. You either lay off and go back to having it be a hobby, or step up and be serious about it. Don't just languish in that middle bit until you burn out.
And there's nothing worse than, we mentioned something awful in the past. I can't make any real assertion about the Something Awful forums. I will be honest, I have an objection to paying for forums.
Right.
I can't say what they say, but I know for a fact that I've been to some forums where they can be a little harsh on what you're posting. And you gotta be able to put that stuff on the back burner and go, oh, okay, somebody doesn't like it. And realize that, you know, that just because they have an opinion of your artwork doesn't mean it should affect what you do. I mean, if I went out to submit my stuff to like King Features And the editor of King Features comes back and goes, you really need to work on the hands. So unless you were intending on the hands to be twice the size they should be, okay. If that was your intention, I'm here to tell you it ain't working. And, you know, at least it didn't work in our little focus group. And maybe you got to market it better or make it more obvious that that's what you were going for.
Right.
There's plenty of Saturday morning cartoons with hands that are completely, wow. they're not even hands. They're like finger starbursts at the end of a stub arm, you know?
Well, sure. There's a, Go-Go Riki. Go-Go Riki is one my kids love right now. And that's really what it is. It's like the floating hands where there should be arms kind of a thing.
Rayman.
Yeah, they're just sort of there.
But that could be the difference between selling the strip to a syndicate or not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you're, because that's one of the things you're supposed to do is take the editor's advice, although the next time you submit it, somebody totally different could be looking at it.
Oh, yeah. Dilbert? I mean, when they pitched Dilbert and they went, they didn't go, yeah, the art on this is really top-notch. No, they went, look. No, they went, look, it's witty. It's funny.
Or Garfield. Garfield's another example of just horrendous introductory strips that looked like they were drawn in kindergarten, you know.
And compare. You mean as compared to now?
As compared to a year later.
I like the older version too. It looked at least stylistic.
There was a book that they put out. The Garfield Through the Ages books or whatever, where in one he's like a Viking, and another one he's, you know, I love those because you get to see Garfield drawn in all these different styles. And I gotta be nicer now to Garfield now that I've actually talked to David Riddick and found out that he's one of the most incredibly nice people on the planet. it's funny because until I talked to David Riddick, I hadn't read Garfield in a long time. And I've gone back and I've gone, you know what? They're really trying to step up the game again. They really are, you know, whereas before I thought I was getting kind of old.
Oh yeah.
They're doing a lot more stories that don't involve Garfield necessarily.
Garfield minus Garfield.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're doing more gags with John, and they're doing more gags, you know, that primarily involve John and not John just as a setup. And it's kind of interesting. It's like, there's a guy that, again, he's been doing it as a professional now forever. And he's still stepping up his game, or he's still trying to change it up a little bit, still keep a product to where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But just change it enough that it might pick up a few fresh readers. I'm going to tie that in here for a second to what Chris Straub and Scott Kurtz are doing right now, too. Here's another couple of guys who, they didn't need to change their stuff. They could have just kept going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're both, you know, what I would consider professional webcomic artists, but they looked at what they were doing and they went, you know, I need to just keep it growing a little bit. And like Scott Kurtz ran a series of strips last week where he was like a Doctor Who parody.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't even a Doctor Who parody. It was just he had Doctor Who in it. And he went with, and he did some great gray tone shading in it, and it's like, oh my god, that really stepped it up a lot.
Oh, and one of their characters has a chin now, I heard.
I'd have to go back and look. I didn't know.
It was something that was brought up in the Something Awful forums. It's like, whoa, this guy has a chin or something. It was pretty funny.
Oh, okay. But yeah, and then last week, Scott again pointed out that that Starslip was changing around again, and I hadn't read Starslip. Right. In a long time, and
a restart too. It's like a redo. He wants to redo it, restart it, so that it's a little bit more easy to follow for newcomers, especially since he said the entire story was like a million and one plot twists and turns and interlaced stories and such. So,
well, I don't know. Is he restarting it, or is he just going to try to start writing it so
restarted.
That it's not?
It's kind of a relaunch essentially.
Stepping in point. He was just going to make a break from what he was doing and go, okay, I'm going to go with much shorter story arcs and things like that from the article I was reading. But I'm willing to be wrong. but again, both those guys changed up their art, changed up what they were doing, got out of their comfort zone, And I think as either a hobbyist or a professional, that's something that, you know, as a professional, it's necessary. You cannot stay a professional doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. It will get stale, and it will drive people to hate you. As a hobbyist, you have the luxury of being able to ignore that, mm-hmm. and continue drawing the same. You know, if your hobby is drawing chibi, you know, Harry Potter fan art, great. You can do that for the next 10 years, and eventually people will stop paying attention. But who cares? You're doing it as a hobby. If you're doing it as a profession, you have to look 10 years down the line and go, can I keep doing this in 5 years even?
Yeah.
You know, or
I was
going to
say, shorten that up.
Because real honestly, I think, you know, it's Scott Kurtz and all those guys need to, as professionals, mm-hmm. there's a much larger stress on what are you going to do 5 years from now?
Yep.
Because if, you know, I'm turning 36 here soon. If I was doing this professionally, I would have to say, okay, at 40, can I still pay my bills doing this? Or at 40, do I need to, you know, maybe have a whole nother strip out? Do I have to, you know, do I need to, you know, kind of shelf what I'm doing here? Do I need to, you know, apply for a position drawing the Hulk for Marvel Comics? I mean,
I think the answer for them is usually, boy, I hope so.
Yeah, and well, but
because of what the market is.
I think the ones that we'll see 10 years from now will be the ones that have adapted. I mean, right. You know, the ones that are able to go and not only do what they're doing, you know, their daily webcomic, but also maybe the side projects. I mean, look at Penny Arcade. Penny Arcade, I would say, makes probably a good chunk of money from doing their comic, but. they probably make just as much off of doing the side projects. Mm-hmm. You know, they've just started up a new charity. Oh, no, they've got the charity. They started up, you know, they've got more things with their scholarship, those kind of things.
Right, and they do a lot of, like, other, like, a lot of the artwork is done in, I've seen it in a couple of different books. They got a video game out. They're diversifying themselves, essentially, and they're selling themselves.
Yeah, they need more boobs, though.
Oh, yeah, they do.
we can all use more boobs.
Yeah.
We got to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, I just need to talk a little bit more about this, and then we're going to cover some of our news items.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live.
I had read this. I used to visit this chat room, but I had to pare back on all the chat rooms I was in. I used to visit this chat room called Toon Talk. It's run by Darren Bell, who draws Canderville, the comic strip Canderville. And there was an argument about this professional versus hobbyist kind of thing. And there's actually professional cartoonists in there, like Wiley Miller, who does Non Sequitur, and he's been around a long time, done a lot of professional work. And the professionals who were in there basically had the point of view that if you don't do this to make a living, you're not getting paid to do this, you're not a professional. The hobbyists, of course, are arguing, well, if I approach it with a professional state of mind, I try to approach it with a professional attitude, am I not a professional?
And I think their collective answer was no, because you're not making a living doing this. You're not getting paid to do it.
Right.
Yeah, technically, you're not a professional.
Yeah, you can approach anything with a professional attitude. Mm-hmm. And until it becomes your, this is what I'm doing to pay my bills. If I don't do this, I'm going to get evicted.
Right.
To that kind of stress.
Yeah.
You can approach it with any attitude you like. That changes everything. Mm-hmm. I have to pay my bills with this.
But there's another aspect to this I wanted to approach, and it might be a little too late. We may have to do this in another show as
sure.
well. Well, personally, I would also submit that, especially in these times, the definition of what a professional or a profession is has changed slightly. I mean, I don't think you need to make it needs to be your main source of income. I'm saying it can be a decent source of income at the very least. But also, what a lot of people are arguing when they say professional versus hobbyist is also the artwork and the skill put involved. Is it professional looking? Is it done as by a professional? Like in the chat room, I was following Tara, who does Galaxian, and she's saying it's a hobby for her. But if you look at Galaxian, that's some pretty good work. That's some really professional looking inking and page setup in story, and she's not looking at it from a professional aspect. It's a hobbyist's aspect is what she's doing, but certainly her work is professional quality. Yes. And that's what I think also ties in with the argument for a lot of people, because as I was arguing at the beginning of the show, it's like some of these very minimalist, very either amateur or purposely deconstructionist type of webcomics, they don't look professional at all, and I'd even argue the writing is very not professional. But yet they may be professional because they make a whole lot of money off of it, and that's we could probably save
I would say
professionalist for another show too. But what do you guys think?
I would say maybe they're part of a profession but are not professionals themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a mutually exclusive thing? Can you be part of a profession but not? Can you be part of the medical profession or the legal profession, but not be a lawyer? I guess you can.
Well, you can. There's always those people, you know, if you're looking at other professions, you know, where, I, for example, am an administrative assistant. I'm an executive assistant. That is my profession. I don't think I belong there. I like do what I need to do to get paid. There are people who take it very seriously, who wouldn't consider me a professional. You're always going to come down to some sort of subjective line. And in the end, I can't think that it goes beyond what your own definition is. You can be of professional quality. You can have writing that is of a professional quality and art that is shite. Mm. And be a professional webcomicer because you're getting paid. It's always going to come down to whose standard you're going by. And actually in the chat room, one of the things that they talked about is considered a professional writer the first time you're published. Ta-da, you're a professional. So, okay, I've been paid for artwork. I'm a professional artist. I'm not very good at it, apparently, because I'm not making a living off of it. But...
yeah, but getting paid for something...
does it come to degrees?
No, it really... honestly, there's going to be... And this will maybe clarify something that I said in the chat room as well. The calling yourself a professional is a big step. Because it sort of says... I'm willing to make that leap to do this as my thing. There are lots of people that are singers or artists in general that have part-time jobs to help pay the bills, but their primary thing is, you know, is their art. But it's that, you know, again, I've had things published. I've had, you know, printed in paper. I could say, yes, I am a professional. Again, it's not my main thing. It's not what I'm actually earning. I do. I real honestly think it becomes a, you know, when you start introducing yourself as a professional, this,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, and you've put your focus on trying to make that your main thing. That's when you go from being a hobbyist to a professional. But there's that giant gray area there where, you know,
semi-pro.
Yeah, well, you're that semi-pro artist who gets paid on the weekends to paint rainbows on little kids' cheeks. you know, because that supports what you do, you know, on the, you know, that supports the political cartooning you do, or that supports, you know, until you can do that one thing, you know, full time, you know, that's great, but that doesn't, you know, that it's, excuse me, it's, there's not like there's a solid cutoff line of hobbyist versus professional. It really is, you know, a bit of an attitude of I'm making this leap to go from, you know, kind of what you were saying earlier, where, you know, maybe there is just a, you know, I really, really am driven to do this as a living. And now I'm doing it, you know, doing it for a living, even though I'm not making my primary income, but you are working towards making your primary income.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just say this is what I'm going to do to pay my bills and not approach it like it's going to be a professional.
Any first year doctor is not making any money. They are still living in the same spot that they lived in when they were in college, working their way through med school.
Right.
They're still professionals. I mean, I don't know. You're working towards something better, but, you know, those poor interns.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you're an intern, yes.
But I
need to clarify that Tara says that she's working towards pro. So she hasn't
semi-pro. I say we just call it all semi-pro. If you if you're interested in making it a professional job,
working towards pro, as long as you can look at what you're doing and see that you are making steps towards making it your primary job, then you may as well start calling yourself a pro. If what you are doing is putting advertising up on a website and hoping people advertise with you, you're not yet there. You're not yet. I mean, if what you're doing is what I'm doing is putting out a comic, you know, mostly 5 days a week. I'm 3 days a week lately, but mostly 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple ad buttons up that help pay for things like going to cons. I'm not a professional. I am not willing to make that statement because it's not what I'm doing. But if what you are doing is looking at becoming a professional and you've done all the things that I'm doing, and in addition you're looking at it going, okay, how am I making that step? How am I getting how am I going to go from point A to point B? And my honest opinion is if all you're doing is putting out comics 5 days a week, you're not doing enough to become a professional. As a, you know, you need to be doing things like getting active in whatever local art community you have, you know, getting your name out there. You need to start looking at self-promotion. You need to start looking at, you know, you need to start looking for jobs that'll pay you to paint rainbows on little kids' cheeks, you know.
Yep.
Anything that will get you involved. Anything that gets you involved.
I agree.
Dad?
Yeah.
Hang on, guys.
Yeah, we'll be like, what?
All right, guys, say hi, and then please get out of my office for a little bit.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Okay, you guys bought me little dragons. That's cool. Now, I'll be done in a little bit.
That's me. You got me little dragon. Awesome. Leave.
That's nice.
Get out.
Well, speaking of, Scott mentioned advertising for a moment there, and I want to mention that if you are interested in advertising with the Webcomic Beacon, we do have a couple of advertising options. In fact, one of them is our Project Wonderful ads are on our main site. In fact, right now is when we see who's sponsoring this show right now.
And who is it, Fess? Well, who is sponsoring us this week? Who? Who? I must know!
If you're a paid Project Wonderful advertiser on our website while we're doing our live broadcasts, you could certainly get mentioned on the show for sponsoring this episode. In fact, it's Galaxian has our header advertising spot. So that's galaxiancomic.com. life, love, hyperspace. Also, advertising on our tower ad, we have Webcomic Asylum, a webcomic review blog by Something Monkey. I don't know. I forget what is Uncaring Monkey or something like that? Or Machine
Monkey. Yep.
Yeah, or Machine. Anyway, he has an ad up that's Webcomic Asylum. A review blog. I tried to get him. Actually, I originally tried to get him to come on the show when we first started. I was trying to get all the webcomic list reviewers on the webcomic Beacon when I first started. But I've only got a couple of them, and a couple of them went away, and I still have Tanya with me. So yay,
yay!
And the last advertisement spot is not a webcomic or anything, so I'm not going to bother advertising it because it's obviously a campaign, and I'm not going to advertise that one. However, if you are a webcomic artist or trying to peddle something else, you could also advertise or sponsor individual episodes. And we have, if you go onto our main site, click on advertising, we have a $10 spot and a $20 spot. Most webcomicers are going to probably like the $10 spot. As we mentioned, your sponsorship of the show three different times in the show. And also you get a graphic link ad to be included with the actual blog post. And it's to stay in the archives forever and all that stuff. $20 is more so for non-webcomic artists.
Did you miss the No Need for Bushido ad?
That wasn't up. That, we don't have it. The one at the way bottom is the Rampage Networks ad.
Oh, I apologize for accidentally plugging you.
No, that's fine. Also, another thing I'm meaning to do, since we are hosted on the Rampage Network, I'm trying to make sure I go to the website and see what kind of news there is. Their featured comic. I don't know how often they change their featured comic, but the featured comic is Trine Human, which, incidentally, has also hit page 100. And this is where we move into milestones!
Oh, boy.
Milestones this week. We have Genuine Draft, a Lego webcomic that has hit 100 strips. You can find that at fft.dreamersync.com. We also have another milestone. It is Alone in a Crowd, AIAcrowd.com, has hit 1 year. Yep, 1 year old. And that's going on. Cool, cool.
Excellent.
Does anybody else have any other milestones or webcomic-y news?
Listen to the deafening silence. I have not
checking the Twitter real quick.
How many years am I at now?
Well, every year they give you a cake with candles on it, and that should tell you.
Well, that anniversary, my birthday's coming up February 9th.
That's a milestone. There,
that's a milestone.
You made it another year. You didn't die yet.
I didn't. I'm still on the correct side of the grass.
That is excellent.
Another year closer to death.
March 25th, 2007.
March 25th, 2007
is what looks to be the first official Mad Scott comic on the internet. So we're working on 2 years here.
Working on it.
Cool.
Yep.
We have one last milestone that was tweeted to us. Big Sandy Gilmore has 100 strips up, and that's at BigSandyGilmore.com. And you can check us out on Twitter by twitter.com/webcomicbeacon.
I wonder what little Sandy Gilmore is doing.
I don't know. Nothing, apparently.
Well, get your milestones in, folks, because if you don't, it's just a rock.
You can send all of that to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys read the webcomic, the Beacon Searchlight for this week?
I did.
The Nolans?
The Nolans.
What did you think?
It was cute. I'm gonna be perfectly honest.
I have
a short attention span.
Mm-hmm.
And have an odd sense of humor, mm-hmm. which is why I read webcomics instead of newspaper comics. And this is very much, this could be a newspaper comic. And
it's safe.
I mean, granted, we're going to go back to the, it's professionally done, but it's very safe. It's almost Calvin and Hobbes-ish without like the philosophy and
so
the intellectualism.
So it's not Calvin and Hobbes.
so it's not. No, but it has the same, like, you know, it's the mom and the dad and the two kids, and the one boy is kind of precocious, and, you know,
there was the big word for the podcast, precocious.
Precocious. Yay! Are we all supposed to scream? Is this like Pee Wee Herman's secret word of the day?
Boobies!
Yay!
Yay! We always get cheers for boobies. Oh, it's a cute comic. It's well written. You know, the jokes come through. It's kind of not my thing. It's a little safe.
It's too. I do like the art. It's simple, yet clean, consistent. Sometimes a little too consistent, but which is kind of a weird thing to say, but. It's nice to look at, except that it's in grayscale. But like you said, it's like a newspaper comic, newspaper style comic. But yeah, definitely not for me. But I can certainly see a lot of people liking this, especially, you know, slice of life ish newspaper family comic of sorts. Mark, what do you think?
Well,
What is wrong with you?
Take your medicine. Did you take your medicine?
I can't afford the medicine with these rates.
Somebody something shiny so that Mark can finish.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, something shiny. I would concur. I liked it for all the same reasons you guys did. It's a all ages comic. Mm-hmm. It's newspapery, so that's all good. There's definitely some homage to Peanuts in there and Calvin and Hobbes. That's definitely in there. I would say probably the only thing that kind of bugged me a little bit was the wife character. Not because of the character or her personality or anything, but just the character design itself. I thought because she has this really funky, spiky hair.
I love that.
Which is cool. Yeah. It is cool. But I found it a bit distracting.
Like her head's exploding in the back or something.
I think she looks excited all the time.
Yeah, and I think when trying to see the expression on the face, the hair just kind of pulls you away from that, if you know what I mean. I think maybe her eyes are way too big. But then I'm not a fan of the, like, giant eyes in comics anyway, but I think her eyes were just a little bit smaller and not taking up her whole head. That might work. That is a very minor thing, though. I thought this is a pretty good comic. It's nice to see all ages type comics out there when there's so much orc porn and stuff like that as well. So I thought this.
Do you read the orc porn comic seriously? Wow,
there's not enough orc porn out there.
Oh,
really.
Gosh, that's terrible.
at least they're not sitting on a couch playing video games, and that's a big thumbs up from me. Just saying.
Okay.
Oh, hey, I wanted to say one last thing about the actual topic of the show. just a little quick something that I'm doing. There are a lot of what I have to say. Almost everything that I'm doing is from more of a hobbyist perspective. But there are some things that I would like to step it up on, and maybe. And move forward with, but like some of the other stuff is like I want to keep, you know, as a hobbyist. I'm sure is that it's like right now I have a kick out of coloring. I always liked coloring. I've done a couple of other things in coloring. It's just kind of fun. And if I had the opportunity or more of a chance to, I'd love to try to learn how to do that much more professionally. Which I'm sure some other people may be in the same boat, where maybe not all aspects, or maybe some aspects they maybe really excel at, and they could really get into it and really really want to do more. And I say, if you can, try to pursue the things that you enjoy doing, especially if you think you might be able to earn a little extra cash off of, you know. Don't let people discourage you from expanding yourself or wanting to try something different, you know. It's very much, you know, do what you want to do first. Do with what feels right, and don't let people get you down. I'm kind of trying to avoid breaking into song here, but
Yeah, I was wondering when the chorus was going to kick in. It sounds very
dramatic. Be yourself.
Oh, see, I went with the hills are alive with the sound of webcomic artists.
There's a great Bernadette Peters Muppets duet thing
and you
could do.
Tablet.
Oh, I want to talk about tablets sometime. Do you think we could get a representative from Wacom to come on the show and give away a Wacom tablet?
Oh, sure. They got nothing better to do. Why not?
Yeah, they got tons of them just lying around. Nobody's buying them or anything.
Well, and with the market the way it is, they're just giving crap away.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Or give everyone a coupon code or something. I don't know.
No, go to the other brand because,
God, they're terrible.
There is no other brand.
There seriously isn't.
I have one myself. I love it.
Yeah, another brand or Wacom?
No, Wacom.
Yeah.
I bet we could, actually.
Frankly, I just own one because I think the name sounds dirty.
Wacom.
I always pronounced it Wacom.
See, that's because you...
I think the company would prefer that as well. But
no, they don't. I got the disc, and it has like a voiceover.
Wacom.
Thank you for purchasing
I think it is Wacom. I think it's Wacom tablet.
No, when I pop on the CD, the guy says, it's like, thank you for purchasing the Wacom Bamboo tablet.
Yeah, it's a Wacom.
Do they say it with that accent?
Yeah, it's British.
It's sort of Chinese. It's
British?
British. It sounded like Chinese.
Or
did
something.
You catch that? It was, Fess. You got to work on those accents. That was a little Asian.
What, did I?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm terrible at accents. It's okay.
I might have to give mine away.
My God, yes, I should think so. Maybe I should practice more. Nah, screw it. I'm a hobbyist. I don't need to practice.
Oh, God. Here we go. I waited the whole show for that. I'm a hobbyist. It can look like crap if I wanted to.
See, I do say a chap.
It's a style. I'm sorry.
I say that is much better.
I do say, you know, you really must get your accent proper. Because if it's not proper, then you totally sound like a blooming idiot, my friend. You totally do. Oh.
See, I talked to a
watch
guy...
Watch Doctor Who.
I talked to a guy in England the other day who sounded nothing like that.
And, it depends on where in England you're from.
Yeah, it's really...
What did he say? Like, oh, Manchester then, did he?
I was going to say, most people I know talk like that.
they talk like that. That Dick Van Dyke. That stupid Dick Van Dyke and Mary friggin' Poppins. Is that it?
And he did the stutter thing. He did the Ozzy Osbourne stutter thing.
Now that we've offended an entire country and they no longer want to be allies with America, I think it's time to end the show. This has been episode 61 of the Webcomic Beacon, hobbyist versus a professionalist sort of conversation. I'm Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of Betapone.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
And
Go
Dean,
Scott.
I guess, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
This is Scott of MadScottComic.com and TheGeekCast.com and NightGig.com. And, you know, I'm on Facebook, too, I guess. I don't know.
That's enough. Anyway, thanks for all for listening this week. We don't know what you're doing necessarily next week, but come back anyway.
The suspense!
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
It's good to have toys.
In any case, we need...
Oh, God, we're still on the air.